Good morning. It is Friday, September 16th, and things that are trending this hour, FedEx. Their stocks have sank more than 22% at the opening bell this morning. It's the biggest drop in the company since 1980. Also trending, a couple food items. Pizza Hut is inventing the Italian taco. Yep. The Italian taco from Pizza Hut. They're trying to take on Taco Bell's Mexican pizza.
No, we had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
What is going on in our world?
Mexican pizza is trending still again?
Can't people just do the things that they do? Like your Taco Bell. You make tacos and Mexican-related food. Your Pizza Hut. You make pizzas and pizza-related food. Why does everyone... Like, we went through this for a period there where... Remember when McDonald's was like, everything is healthy now. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Just do what you do.
And then they found out that the apple slices weren't selling as well as the French fries.
It's fine. You go into McDonald's, you expect to come out feeling like a pile of grease. It's fine. Just do what you do.
Finally trending, another food item. This is Mrs. Butterworth's flavored syrup. The flavor, Fruity Pebbles.
That looked disgusting.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I'm sure a little goes a long way with this.
So it's instead of like maple syrup that mm-hmm. you put on your pancakes.
Yeah, it's Fruity Pebbles from Post, the cereal, and Mrs. Butterworth teaming up.
Not someone who is older than 5 years old would want to buy that. Like, what is the market for that?
Yeah, it's like a spoonful of sugar there, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It's 8 minutes after 10. Thank you for listening this morning. On this Friday, we made it. Give yourself a pat on the back. The White House has denounced transports of migrants to Martha's Vineyard. So two flights arrived at Martha's Vineyard with 50 migrants that originated from Texas. They had been ordered by Ron DeSantis. I even read somewhere they were paid for by somebody who lived in Texas, the flights were. And then yesterday morning, two buses carrying 100 migrants that had originated in Texas arrived at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. The gated complex is home to Vice President Kamala Harris.
Okay, so what's the famous line? What we have here is a failure to communicate, because we now have the super liberal, formerly, I guess we call them formerly, remember the artist formerly known as Prince, now they are the city's formerly known as Sanctuary, that's what we'll call them. Well, Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago, who were all on board for years and years and years about we're a sanctuary city, Trump's evil, you're welcome here. I guess it's easy to say that when you know they won't get there because people aren't getting across the southern border, and if they are, they're being detained. But then it came time to put up or shut up, and now all of these liberal cities formerly known as sanctuary are crying out how awful it is, even though they have a fraction of the amount of illegal immigrants that border cities and towns in Arizona and Texas do on a daily basis. And what is so weird is that Kamala, and we're going to play you some clips from the administration, Kamala, Biden, Corinne Jean-Pierre continue to profess that the border is secure, that the border is not open. And wild and wacky, Fox News caught up with an illegal immigrant yesterday in one of these. I don't know if it was Martha's Vineyard that they were at. And they asked him, is the border wide open? He said yes.
And Vice President Harris said that the border is closed. Is the border closed? Do you believe that the border is closed or is it open?
It's open, not closed. The border is open.
The border is open. Do you believe that all the migrants believe that the border is open?
Yeah, everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter. We come in free. No problem.
But it's open for you to come illegally, right?
Illegally, yes, illegally. That's true.
And you came illegally?
Yeah, we came illegally, not legal.
What was it that he said? Can we play the first? I'll tell you when to stop it, Jaden. Can you rewind that for me real quick? That's such a 1990s radio term. Can you rewind that tape for me?
You're closed. Do you believe that the border is closed or is it open?
It's open, not closed. The border is open.
The border is open. Do you believe that all the migrants believe that the border is open?
Yeah, everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter. We come in.
Okay, stop. What? That man should run for United States Congress.
He was honest.
Yeah. It's open because we come in.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? It's open because we come in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can now, we have one of two options here. Because again, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Somebody is not telling the truth. And do we believe that it is this nameless illegal immigrant?
Who said he came in illegally? He came in legally or illegally? Illegally.
Pretty much makes it very clear he's putting himself at risk, mm-hmm. Deportation, et cetera, by doing that. Or you can believe Kamala and Biden, who have a vested interest in lying to you about national security.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are we going to go with, Casey?
I think we're going to go with that guy we just heard. He seemed like he was being honest. Secure, it's an adjective, fixed or fastened. So not to give way. Not to give way. Well, let's go to the White House press secretary.
Ah, yes.
I'm sure she'll give us the truth. Is the border secure?
You have a message for the migrants, though.
I'm just going to refer back to the vice president. We agree with her. She is saying that there's a lot of work to do, right? She also said that in that very statement. We agree that the border is secure, but there is still more work to be done.
Okay, so there's no... Boy, we have heard this, like you wouldn't know anyway, but we have heard this account from a person who has illegally entered the country who says, yes, the border is open, because in the most well-duh statement ever that apparently the Democrats who run our society don't seem to realize, it's open. What do you say? It's open because we come in?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
Yeah.
If it weren't open, we wouldn't. We wouldn't be here.
We just walked right in. So the White House not shying away from a fight with Abbott and DeSantis. And now they're calling for an investigation by the Department of Justice into Ron DeSantis.
So their response. Okay. So their response, the White House's response to mass illegal immigration, record numbers, 2 million plus illegal immigrants entering the country this year.
Mm-hmm.
You just have the illegal immigrant right there on Fox News saying, oh yeah, absolutely, waltz right in.
Mm-hmm.
Was, we're going to investigate Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here is what we're talking about in the sense of somebody is either not understanding or lying because we just heard the illegal immigrant. We've mm-hmm. got the record numbers of illegal immigrants crossing into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a random, confused, probably accidental act of journalism, Corinne Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, got asked, would you like to tell illegal immigrants not to come to this country? And the answer, nah.
You have a message for the migrants, though, who are saying that the border is open. I mean, today we talked to a few who arrived in D.C. They said that the border is open. We know it's open because we come, we enter, no problem. We haven't heard a message from the administration in a few months telling people not to come. We've heard you guys talking about trying to make it a more orderly process, but you're not telling people not to come.
So Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas has been very clear. He was on TV recently talking about this, talking about the work that they do. And so I will leave it to the Department of Homeland Security to speak to that specifically.
I didn't hear don't come in there.
She just does not even want to answer. She completely just passed the buck on that.
I didn't hear the border's
closed. I'm going to leave
closed.
That one for Homeland Security to answer. It's like, next question. So El Paso's mayor said that they see between 1,000 and 1,400 migrants a day. In the Del Rio sector, they see between 1,500 and 2,000 illegal crossings every day. But the border's secure.
It's very secure.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
We've been told it's secure. It's all good. Nothing to see here. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Somebody wants.
Sounds like we're ready. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, 19 minutes after 10. So earlier, we texted Todd at 41440. He was trying to raise some money.
Yes.
I texted. I haven't heard back from Todd Young yet.
Wait. So you, in an earlier segment, we saw the ad that was forced upon us by Todd Young
mm-hmm.
that said, I am in desperate need of money and volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Text this number.
Mm-hmm. Text Todd to 41440.
And I will tell you how you can help me mm-hmm. on my path to add another $11 trillion to the national debt over the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you texted
mm-hmm.
because we made an offer because we know Igor, Todd's evil assistant, listens, hate listens every day. And so we made an offer to him to Igor, Duke of Spendingburg, Todd Young's evil, awful assistant, in which we said, Igor, we have several questions for Todd. If Todd will come on and answer these questions, we know he has the phone number to the radio station because he's on with Tony. Mm-hmm. And much like Tony, we have no criminal record to speak of, so he can feel safe being around us. He can bring some of his big, burly bodyguards that were at Stack's Pancake House. By the way, for a guy who's supposed to be constitutional carry and a Marine, pretty weak to have the big, tough, burly guys walking behind you. I know you did that for me, Todd. Hello. But if you'd come in here, you can bring your tough, burly guys with you. We've got some very simple questions that we'd like to ask you. No gotcha questions. I think you know what they're going to be. If you can convince us, I will gladly put the Todd Young sign in the yard, my palatial Brownsburg estate. And you texted the number.
I texted the number.
As was forced upon us in various social media platform advertising. We didn't solicit this. We didn't ask for this. Trust us, we didn't want this. And this is everything Todd Young. You've not received a response.
I haven't received a response, but I did get a message from Representative Rachel Hood's reelection campaign. Did you know that every registered voter can request an absentee ballot in Michigan?
Oh, who is Rachel Hood? Is she someone from Michigan?
Apparently, somebody who wants my money.
Okay, well, that would make sense because you used to live in Michigan. Now, she probably needs to update her roles.
I'm on her phone tree, but Todd Young doesn't.
It's very sad because Todd desperately wanted your money and wanted to give you a yard sign, and now we have laid out an offer by which we will accept the yard sign, and we have not heard back. This is terrible constituent services. I guarantee if you had texted, have check for $50K.
I would have got a response.
There would have been a sprint to 40 Monument Circle.
Uh-huh, how quickly they would have gotten
here.
But
here's the deal. Look, the offer will stand for as long as Todd would like until Election Day, that if you have to come in and answer these questions, if he can convince us and wow us, which you've been a U.S. senator for 6 years, unfortunately, we will not ask him about being in the Marines. That will not be one of the questions we will ask. Did you know he was in the Marines?
I didn't know that.
We will put a sign in our yard, as was thrust upon us with the Facebook advertising.
Okay. He's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels, and this is it's more of a wonky story, in my opinion, Rob.
But it's an important one.
Yes. Okay, so this is Steny Hoyer.
Yes.
Right? He's a Democrat from Maryland.
He has been there, as we like to say, since the earth was young. He's a U.S. representative. 1981, Casey, I was -2.5 when he began his legislative career. I am a fully grown-ass adult male nearing middle age, and I was -2.5 when Steny Hoyer started his legislative career.
He was speaking in support of a bill that would undo an executive order that Trump put in place in the final months of his presidency.
Okay, so at the crux of this, and we talk about this quite a bit, the nameless, faceless, unaccountable bureaucrat and the ability of the federal government to have these people be weaponized against regular people for political purposes. You call it the deep state, you can call it whatever you want. But the fact is that the Democrats, look, and the Republicans do it too, but obviously the Democrats used this very well with help from certain never-Trumpers against Donald Trump to undermine his presidency. And it would make sense that a career elected stooge like Steny Hoyer, who has been in public office in the United States government longer than I have been alive, would be wholly invested in ensuring that nameless, faceless, unaccountable bureaucrats can continue to derail American society. And he's very passionate about this. Listen.
They made it quite clear. They want to eliminate what they call the deep state. The deep state is a cadre of professionals dedicated to honoring the Constitution, the laws of this country, and carrying out the policies of the Congress and the President. By the way, it is the Congress that makes policy under the Constitution,
really?
Under Article 1. Huh. It is the executive that carries out policies. Oh.
Okay, so, well, let's go to the end of that, because I really thought over the past couple of years there have been multiple times, including just recently, Casey, where the president waddled his old ass out there and made executive orders from vaccine mandates to suspending student loan that didn't involve the Congress at all. Did I miss something?
Nope, you're right on.
So it's really wild and wacky that a guy that has been there 41 years would not be aware that Joe Biden on multiple occasions over the past 2 years has issued countrywide mandates by executive order, because I thought he said at the end there, the Congress is supposed to
make policy.
Make policy. So if I were someone that was inclined to sue, or had standing to sue, or is going to sue over this 10K Biden giveaway, mm-hmm. I would just take a clip of that and Nancy Pelosi saying, no, the Congress makes the rules. But think about this. This guy is fighting. He's not fighting for cheaper gas. He's not fighting to get food prices under control. He's not fighting for a secure southern border. He's not fighting to ensure what happened in Afghanistan never happens again. He's not fighting to ensure businesses remain open or that supply chain issues get solved. He's fighting to ensure that nameless, faceless, unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats continue to get to dictate policy in this country.
Mm-hmm. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So this is a Schedule F in the accepted service. That's what this order was, right? So that was just a reclassification of federal employees.
Oh, there you go. Boom.
Yeah. 1026, it's 93 WIBC. So Dr. Bobblehead Fauci testified before the Senate Health Committee on Wednesday. I'd like to read a headline. This is from October of 21. This is from the New York Post. The headline reads, Fauci's agency admits it funded gain-of-function work in Wuhan. What else are they keeping from us? So gain-of-function work involves intentionally making a virus more effective against humans and then seeing what it does and how to fix it. And that's the lab leak theory for COVID-19's origins. And this is fabulous. Rand Paul says that if Republicans take control of the Senate, he will investigate and find out where that virus started.
I think if I'm in charge of a committee, if we win the Senate, I will subpoena him. But I also will subpoena his records, whether or not he refuses to testify or not, because I think within those records holds the key to the origins of the virus. I do believe that there was an overt attempt to cover up. I think that there was an organized attempt to cover up the origins of the virus amongst him and several of his colleagues. I think they met. I think they talked about the possibility. And even in some of their emails, there's some hint of this, that they say it would be damaging to their reputations and to the reputation of their organizations if it were found out that they funded research that caused this virus. And so I think there was then an organized cover up to make sure that no one would ever discover the origins of this. But you know, this is not without precedent. There's been at least 10 different leaks of viruses from labs, several of them in China. So we will get to the bottom of this with or without Fauci's help, but he's going to have to decide whether he will actually dissemble or lie under oath. We already have him in committee not telling the truth about this. He says, oh, gain of function research didn't happen and we will on. It did. He said he didn't fund it. And so the thing is, yes, we will get to the bottom of this, but elections have consequences. If we don't win the Senate, I won't have the ability to do this. If we win the Senate, I promise you, hearing after hearing to get to the bottom of how this virus originated.
Rand Paul, we talked about this yesterday, is almost Casey, mm-hmm. not quite, but almost the idea of Rand Paul getting unlimited, unfettered access to Fauci and his records is almost enough to make you want to vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would take Indiana out of this statement I'm about to make, but if I were in a swing state where a new candidate is running who has not abused their power and the magical money printing factory, like whether it would be a Herschel Walker in Georgia or mm-hmm. a Masters in Arizona or New Mexico or even maybe it'd be a stretch, but maybe Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, I would probably pull the lever for a non-incumbent Republican just to get the country's going to hell anyway. Let's just enjoy it and at least give Rand Paul the opportunity to get to the bottom of what happened.
I appreciate that he is still asking the question, where did this virus originate? And in his mind, from a lab in Wuhan, and he wants Fauci to tell the truth.
Yes, because Fauci is an evil, awful failure of a human being and deserves to be held accountable. And the fact that for all these years, he's never been held accountable and he's going to skate out of the government without being held accountable. But it comes back to, again, what we talked about earlier. Trump put him in charge. Trump controlled everything and allowed this guy to maneuver and manipulate and didn't do anything about it. So when you, when the people get on their Trump, the infallible human deal where you can't question or be critical of Trump, Trump sucked at COVID. Trump was a pretty good president up until COVID. COVID was awful on a wide variety of issues, and how you govern in crisis is a big part of who you are as a leader.
Last time Fauci appeared before the Senate committee, he was asked about a reported $193 million in royalties. So
not to him direct, just him.
Not just to him, to about 1,800 different scientists, but did he get a share of that?
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, Fauci has done very well. We'll leave it at that. And hopefully Rand Paul will get an opportunity to get to the bottom of it.
And the only way that Rand Paul can get that opportunity is if the Republicans have control of the Senate. Okay, let's talk about Mike Braun, an Indiana senator. It is being rumored, it is being circulated, it is being discussed that he might make a possible run for the governor's seat.
Okay, so this is interesting because this has been a little dance that Braun, at least, well, not publicly, privately, behind the scenes, appears to be doing, which is, am I going to stay in the U.S. Senate, which is, despite several verbal gaffes that Braun has had, unforced errors, still probably a pretty safe state. Braun, not on everything, but on many things, has been reliably conservative, has done a pretty good job. It's a safe seat for him. So my question would be, and look, Braun has what we like to call infinite money. And let's be honest, Casey, we need more friends who have infinite money. Why would you take something that you're not going to really have to put any of your own resources behind? You largely just show up and you will continue to be that thing, of which it's valuable. It's not like, and not to say that our local surveyors are not valuable, but it's not county surveyor. It's United States senator. It's a super valuable office. Why would you take something that is super safe and risk it having to put a whole bunch of your own money into this process again to try to become governor of the state of Indiana?
Well, is he afraid that it wouldn't be a Republican who holds the governor's seat next?
Well, and that's also an interesting question, which is the Indiana Republican Party is clearly going through a split based upon the egregious behavior of Eric Holcomb, the how many years has it been now? It feels like an entire lifetime. The 6 years Holcomb has now been governor. Let's see, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They all just run together. The abuse of this guy to our state just runs together. So the 6 years that Holcomb has been governor, and there are a lot of Republicans who are saying, look, we are not electing another establishment person or someone connected to the establishment just simply to keep the state Republican, because there is no difference. There is no difference between Holcomb and a Democrat. So we're not doing that again. So obviously that is going to be a challenge for someone like Suzanne Crouch, who is joined at the hip, whether she wants to be or not, to Eric Holcomb. And obviously there's a conservative lane there that maybe Braun thinks he can fill. I'm just not sure why you would want to take all that risk, which is going to involve him having to spend a whole lot of his own money for a safe United States Senate seat.
Well, he did tell Wish TV about a month ago that he would like to take everything that he's learned as senator, and he got all of that legislation through in 21. And they asked him pretty directly if he was leaning towards running for governor, and he said, well, you said that, so I'll take that comment along with all the others that I get. Governor's race is 2 years off, by the way. Braun did say that the Inflation Reduction Act celebration was an insult.
All right, so we got some, we do occasionally sometimes monitor the YouTube chat, which, by the way, you can watch the program on YouTube. If you just put Kendall and Casey into your YouTube browser, you can go and watch this very fabulous radio show while you listen. Hello to all of our listeners as well. We don't in any way mean to demean or belittle your participation in this process. But you know the rule, Casey, which is hate mail directed
towards
me. This
is your rule.
Yes, it goes right to the front of the line.
Front of the line.
Because I have an immense ability, which is to bring out the absolute worst and crazy in some people. And we have long talked about, and this is what always floors me, is when people will come at me if they get mad that we speak the truth about Republicans on here. why am I the bad guy in the equation? You know, you notice that the hate towards us is never, no, that didn't happen. It's never, no, you're wrong, that's not happening. It's a defense of the party, of a needless letter because of some sort of compulsion to kneel at the altar of party politics, which I don't understand. But you by default being conjoined with me, become the bad guy in the equation, which blows my mind because we don't have any power over anyone. We can't raise or lower anyone's taxes. We can't shut down or allow a business to stay open. We can't decide whether you have to pay certain things to have certain professions. All the stuff that we talk about, we have no power over anyone. Mm-hmm. But for some people, the idea of the existence, the mere existence that there is a contrarian voice to Republican good, Democrat bad, white hat, black hat, that enrages people to the point where they will sit and will subject themselves apparently to great suffering and hate to listen to a radio show.
You're causing nightmares.
I have never understood this from the time, even like when I was a kid and I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh and people would call in about how much they hate him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that to yourself? Mm-hmm. Why would you willfully cause yourself harm and distress that you don't have to? Now, the difference is people say, well, you talk about these politicians. I have to. They affect my life. Eric Holcomb, I promise you, if Eric Holcomb, when he's done, go get some cushy job as a lobbyist or a professor, or I mean, he's clearly not going to run a business because he couldn't. By the way, my chiropractor told me yesterday I say Wendy's too much, so he couldn't run a Burger King if his life depended on it. Hello, Dr. Joel.
If he disappeared,
yes,
life would go on.
Sometimes I have nine thoughts going at the same time, and I appreciate you telling me to focus. Yes, I would never mention him ever again. Todd Young, same deal. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, same deal. It's your ability to impact my life that I have an obligation, and I loathe you the same way those listeners loathe me. The difference is they have power over me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we like to point out how just ridiculous these people are, and we will read, whether it's correspondence via at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What is our email now? Is it still rob@wibc.com? Does that still forward to the new email?
Mine doesn't.
Oh, well, then at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter or on the YouTube chat or however you're getting a hold
at
of us.
At Casey Daniels 317.
Yeah, yes. But you, on the other hand, because you're a good person, you do not embrace the hate mail quite like I do.
No, I don't enjoy
it. Isn't your
being
reason
at?
It isn't your reason for being. Like, you don't wake up in the morning and with
no,
a smile on your face.
Hate mail with me does not go to the front of the line.
Yes, right.
It goes to the blocked.
So, oh yes, only send nice letters to Casey. was this James? Was that this guy's name that sent this? Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maestro. I just wanted to say to Rob, when you were on your vacation to Vegas, it was so amazing. And Casey, misspelled your name, but that's beside the point, had to show and did the show. That's terrible grammar. This guy is clearly a Rhodes Scholar, and it's hard to believe someone with such blind hate and anger would be so grammatically inefficient. Let me try that again. In case he misspelled, had to show, and did the show, it was difference. Also the wrong word. Between night and day better when you were gone.
Keep the music going. I'm going to play the part of Laura.
Oh, who responded? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, go for it.
What? The show was better without Rob? Oh, that is ridiculous. He provides a wealth of information and has passion. What could be better? I agree with Laura.
What is wrong with you if a radio show makes you that mad?
He just doesn't like you. James, you can keep listening.
We
I'll take it.
Yeah, your listening counts all the same towards our bonus. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Love us or hate us, we appreciate every single one of you. So thank you for listening this morning. And contrary to popular belief, Rob and I, we actually do like each other. It's 10:45. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. He's a lean, mean fighting machine. Hammer's in the studio. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Hey, hey, hey. Something about hearing the words lean and mean, then having my walk-up music be Fat Albert seems a little disingenuous.
Well, you're turning into a lean, mean fighting machine, right?
We're trying to. Mm-hmm. We're trying to. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. These last couple of pounds are a monster mm-hmm. to try to get off.
They always are the last ones.
I mean,
tell me your sob story. Go on.
Because, you know, I've lost basically 48 pounds right now, sure. trying to get to 50. And in many ways, it's kind of like when you have to take a number two and you're driving. Mm-hmm. You can hold it for a while, but for whatever reason, when you get close to home, that thing can't come out fast enough.
Yeah.
Losing this weight has been a pretty easy process for me because I just, you know, I've scaled back my diet. I've started to work out, I drink more water, but getting down to the nitty gritty, mm-hmm. trying to close this thing out has been tough.
And it's really been hard for me because when I first met you, you were a skinny, fit, good-looking dude.
Thank you.
And to see what you've become was just heartbreaking. So I'm
right. I need one of these companies that can just do liposuction. Like, how come Rob can get new hair, but I can't get somebody to suck the fat out of my system?
Do you want to go to the bathroom before you get on the scale?
I did. I took a leak. No number two this morning.
Okay.
Okay. So. All right. So you are going to, let's see, your number, you started at 264.4.
Right. Unbelievably fat.
Well, and you did not appear to be that. I mean, I thought you were morbidly obese, but not that morbidly obese. And to your credit, you have worked very hard over the past 9 months. You are now down to 215.2.
Right.
And so you are, by public school math, 0.8 pounds away from achieving your goal.
And man, I have been doing the right things this week. I've been drinking the water, going to the gym, not eating after 8 o'clock, you know, cutting out some of the bull crap. Yeah. It's been a good week, but man, I just don't know if we're there.
And I grieve for you because the Mexican pizza is coming back, and I know how you love the Mexican pizza. Mm-hmm.
I know. It's going to be consumed at some point this weekend, but I've not had one yet because I was concerned about this weigh-in. I think it's going to be really close.
All right. Are you ready to waddle on over there and see what the damage is?
Let's do it.
All right. 215.2 is last week's number. 214.4 would end the contest. Let's see. Hammer getting up on the scale. Oh, 214.4. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Thank you. All right, on the scale.
He wants to make sure we've got the numbers right.
Oh, that's not bad, but it's not great.
Okay, so I lost, but barely. 215 flat. So I was 215.2 last week, 215 flat. And again, I wear the same clothes in here every week. We've kept it consistent, same scale and everything. So 215 flat, I'm down 0.2, which means I still have, what, 0.6 to go to lose.
Yeah. So I hope you fail next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
My dinner depends on it.
Hey, you guys are doing a TV show together this weekend, right?
We are. As always, I am giving Rob Kendall my leftovers and my scraps.
That's my whole career. My whole career since I was 19 years old has been picking up the things Hammer needs help with.
So on Saturday, it's business as usual for the college football betting show. It's myself, it's Scott Long, it's Danielle McConnell, Wish TV, 11 to noon, getting you ready for college football Saturday. Mm-hmm. But then Sunday, Scott Long can't make it. So the representative from Brownsburg, Rob Kendall, is going to be filling in. And we're going to be talking about the Colts and the Jags. The fact the Colts have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. Think about that. The Colts have had some pretty decent teams. Yeah. You know, Andrew Luck teams and whatever. But they've not won in Jacksonville since September of 2014. Casey, do you know what the number one song in America was the last time the Colts won in Jacksonville? September of 2014.
Third Eye Blind. No, 2014. I'm trying to think. No.
You didn't say 1984.
Yeah, no, I don't.
The number one pop song on the Billboard charts was All About That Bass from Meghan Trainor.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay.
That's the last time the Colts got a dub in Jacksonville.
It's coming up this afternoon.
This afternoon, we have Abdul coming by. I hear he's got some legal stuff need to talk about.
Talk to my attorney.
We'll chat with Abdul, Cindy Carrasco, the Republican running for prosecutor in Marion County, and the coach, Dan Dockage.
All right. Thanks, Hammer.
Thank you.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.